From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Well, he won by a landslide, Donald Trump, finishing yesterday's Nevada caucus by, I believe, about 22 percentage points ahead of Marco Rubio, who finished second. Capital Public Radio's Ben Adler has been in Reno throughout the process of the Nevada caucuses, and he's joining us live today. Hi, Ben.
Good morning, Beth.
So Marco Rubio was on the Today Show this morning, and he said, "I respect Nevada very much, but last night, that process was just different from the rest of the country." And there had been reports of people wearing pro-Trump T-shirts at locations, which apparently is allowed, that there was even some yelling, that it was a real Wild West kind of night. Did you experience any of that?
No, not at all. It was actually very smooth at Reno High School, which housed several different precincts of caucuses. And that's where I spent the night. And it went very smoothly. There was a very long line. It took much longer than the allotted time to get everyone checked in. But unlike the Democratic caucuses, where everyone must be present to have their vote count the entire time, really the entire time. In fact, on Saturday, Hillary Clinton lost a delegate because one of her supporters had to leave early after an hour or an hour and a half to get to work. She lost a delegate because of that. At Reno High, they waited when necessary. In fact, everyone stuck around for hours. So even though caucus doors opened at 5 in Washoe County and the caucuses were supposed to start at 6, someone could have walked in around 8-ish if they wanted to, and their vote would have counted.
Well, you've covered politics and elections for a long time, Ben, and you heard my conversation after the Democratic caucus with our former colleague Al Gibbs, who was a leader at one of the precincts. He suggested that to serve the most voters overall, the primary kind of setup, he thought, would be better than a caucus. Do you have any perspective on one versus the other and how they work in that state?
I can tell you that I asked and spoke with dozens of voters over the last week here, Democrat, Republican, declined to state. Not a single one of them said, "You know, I really like this caucus thing. I really wish we could keep doing it." Everyone I spoke with either had not much of an opinion, didn't know what a caucus was, was still trying to figure it out in time to caucus, or said, "I really wish we'd have a primary. I'd vote in a primary. I'm not going to show up at the caucus."
Well, I thought it was a new process in Nevada, but one of our listeners said that she had caucus experience in Nevada going back to the early 1980s. So I need to do a little more background work on exactly what the process of caucusing in Nevada has been. But for now, the procedure stays, and I don't know what the best gambling analogy would be, but Donald Trump surely last night hit the jackpot, didn't he?
He sure did. I found it, first of all, kind of funny that he held a rally in Las Vegas to declare victory in the Nevada primary, and he held it not at the Trump Hotel,
right,
but at Treasure Island.
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. He fared quite well, very well, among all sorts of different subsets, according to the exit polls. He won among very conservative Nevadans. He won among conservatives. He won among moderates. He pointed out he won among Latinos.
Ben, I'm going to pause you right there because we can hear Donald Trump saying it in his own words in this clip.
"We won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated."
Just as a P.S. to all the listing you were doing.
Yes, and that's, I guess, the new Donald Trump catchphrase coming out of last night, the, you know, that Donald Trump loves the poorly
educated.
I
love the poorly educated, yes. I don't know that there's ever been a presidential candidate who's spoken those words.
Well, you've never heard a presidential candidate say that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue in New York City and he wouldn't lose votes over it.
Or punch a protester in the face. You're right. You're right.
We could go on for a while.
Right.
But, you know, one thing I found was interesting. His support comes from folks who are educated and maybe who haven't gotten, you know, every degree and diploma there is. I was at the Trump rally yesterday in Sparks at the Nugget Casino. And at that rally, Trump made a similar remark to what he made last night. And as people walked out, I was talking to a couple, and one of the first things they said to me is, "We're really educated. You know, I'm a retired teacher," she said, and he worked in business and did quite well. And they're big Donald Trump fans, and they went through why. And so for every Trump supporter who might be like the one I spoke with at the caucuses last night, who, in all honesty, had some alcohol in his breath and talked about Donald Trump on Celebrity Parentis and that he did not like Hillary Hinton, there were also many, many well-educated, well-spoken, and sober Trump supporters who I spoke with over the last week.
Imagine that. You talked to someone last night who'd been drinking. Wow.
And showed up at the caucus. I did see a tweet, by the way, of someone who showed up at a caucus site in Vegas bringing a six-pack, and they did turn that person away.
Oh, how they did.
Twitter is to be believed.
To get to the numbers, it was 46% Donald Trump, 24% for Marco Rubio, 21% Ted Cruz, and then much smaller numbers for Ben Carson and for John Kasich. You mentioned the exit polls, and the majority of voters in the exit polls apparently said they were looking for someone outside the establishment, that they're very angry at how government is being run now. So if you talk to people who are voting for Marco Rubio or even Ted Cruz as opposed to Donald Trump, what was their motivation?
Everyone's motivation appeared to be to win the White House. Each of them felt that his or her candidate was had the best chance of doing that.
And meaning the best chance to beat Hillary Clinton, presuming she would be the nominee.
Yeah, I found that interesting. Is a lot of folks, you know, even Cruz supporters and Trump supporters, some Trump supporters were saying that they felt he'd be the most electable. So that motivated many of the Republicans that I spoke with, and also some Democrats. Then there were also folks who said, we need a conservative. I'm tired of voting for someone who's not a conservative. And folks, you know, some folks saying, I don't trust Donald Trump. I wouldn't trust him to be dog catcher. But a lot of the folks who I spoke with, what you heard from them is what matched what folks around the country have been saying and what our listeners have been hearing from NPR's great political coverage. There's anger and frustration. There's also just a sense of disenchantment, disillusion, and frustration with the direction the country is going, particularly from Republicans, to some extent from Democrats as well, although they will say that they do believe President Obama has done well, or at least the best he could over the last 7 or so years. So it is similar to what you hear from voters in other parts of the country, but maybe magnified a little bit.
You're listening to Capital Public Radio's Ben Adler. He has been in Reno for yesterday's Republican caucus and last week's Democratic caucus. Let's address the delegate count for a moment. This is not a state where the winner takes all, correct?
It is not. It is not. And we're still, I think, processing who's going to get exactly how many delegates. But Donald Trump certainly won many, most, maybe not most, because he did not get 50% of the vote. You're going to, I think, see Cruz and Rubio pick up some delegates, but Trump is going to get the majority.
All right. There were 30 in Nevada for the Republicans. So assuming he does win the majority of them in some fashion, he would be up around 80 by the end of February, which would be far ahead of Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. But the win is a long way out still. More than 1,200 delegates are needed for the presidential nomination. There's a debate tomorrow night. South Carolina Democrats will caucus on the 27th. And then we have Super Tuesday on March 1st. In the meantime, there's a lot happening at the California Capitol. So I know you're heading down the mountain today, aren't you?
I am. It's been a fun week in Reno, but I'm looking forward to getting home.
Well, we've appreciated all your coverage, Ben. Thanks. It's really great to have your perspective on the ground and to be able to hear from voters. I think that's the key for the coverage.
I agree. And it's just a nice perspective to get, is speaking with so many wonderful folks here in Reno over the last week, instead of just, you know, covering the candidates over and over, to hear from what people have to say.
Enjoy the snow view, too. Wow.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks,
Thank
Ben.
You. Thank you, Ben. You can read and listen to more stories from Ben Adler at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. Coming up, we're going to hear some of the story of the end of the grizzly bear in California.